Are you able to see what others cannot see? Can you help people identify their destination? Are you skilled at helping people find a pathway forward? Becoming people of influence means we must develop into better navigators. Today is all about the art of navigation, right here, right now, on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. This is our 36th episode for our first year, and we're excited to be back with you. Again, it's a Monday morning for us, and we know that you're checking in maybe on a drive to work or maybe in your office or maybe on a walk around the neighborhood. But we're glad that you've joined us, and we're glad because we exist for you, and we want to see your potential explored and your capacity enlarged. And so we're talking part two of a series we've been doing on mentoring. And today we're going to get into a deeper subject with regard to mentoring, the art of navigation. And so excited to be with you. Before we get into our episode today, we have a form in the show notes below. We'd love for you to complete it and let us know the areas of growth that you desire to pursue as a leader. This will give us some feedback on some episodes that we may do in the future, as well as a way of creating opportunities to help you grow in your current role. But anyway, Charles, we're glad to be back today. Tell us about your week and how things are going.
Well, it's a great week. And again, every day that we're able to be on the Five Gifts Podcast is a great day. This is just, man, I don't know if anyone else enjoys this, but I'm having a great time. I really enjoy this medium and this forum to be able to express ourselves in leadership and in fivefold ministry gifts. And so praise God for an opportunity to do that. And so looking forward to continuing our discussion on mentorship and really kind of honing in on the art of navigation and what that looks like. Bruce, if you're ready, we'll just jump right on in. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, John Maxwell describes the person of influence as a navigator. And as leaders, we should be looking into the future for our teammates and helping them pilot problems with more awareness. As our experiences grow, we can help those predict certain outcomes for our people before they become emergencies. So, Bruce, what does it mean to you to be a navigator?
Well, I think becoming a navigator, the art of navigation, is one of the strengths of a mentor who has, probably through experience and the development of their wisdom, their acumen, they not only have a strong self-awareness, but they have a wisdom to think globally and understand what lies ahead of the people that they lead. And what lies ahead might be an obstacle, it might be a crisis, it might be leaning into brand new potential, but As a mentor, the art of navigation is understanding that and understanding how to, the word that you used earlier was piloting through some of those issues. The truth is that people need assistance to work through difficulties to reach their potential. It can be the sudden crisis or maybe the moment of a perceived failure that can discourage them. But as a navigator, you help them find a way forward and stay on course. So most of the time, that means walking beside them and being what I call kind of a GPS. In fact, I think a GPS is a pretty appropriate metaphor for the modern idea of a mentor. They chart the path to where we're going. And so I think that's important. A leader is one who sees more than others see. They see farther than others see. They see before others see what's coming. So as you think about yourself as a mentor and growing as a navigator, what are you specifically doing to help others grow in their potential? And how are you accomplishing that? Those are some questions that I think are important to think about contextually as you consider, I'm trying to help this person get to the next level. So, Charles, what do you think a primary skill of a navigator would be?
Well, I think the primary skill would be that a navigator identifies the destination. So a good leader helps people identify their destination, where they're going, and really settle in on the end result, so that everything's not so nebulous and just kind of vague, but really settling on the specific destination, the end point of where we're traveling to. No matter how much you know about the people you're trying to mentor, you always need to know more. And so, you know, we talked about last week using some coaching questions to move from the surface level conversations into some deeper understandings about the individual. So we want to kind of peel those layers back and maybe even get to the core of who people are. And so as we think about that, we want to begin to find out some things like, what do they cry about? You know, what moves them to tears? What begins to stir their emotions? What do they sing about? Where's the joy? Where's the happiness? Those things that causes them to celebrate and to just really express themselves in joy. A third area would be, what do they dream about? What does the future look like for them? Where do they, when they go to that place of kind of visioneering, what is it that they dream about? What are the things they dream about? How are they envisioning their future? And even beyond just asking these questions about others, maybe begin to answer those questions about yourself as well. How would you answer the above questions about yourself? Maybe that would be a good exercise to kind of write those questions down. And at some point today, as you're developing, again, this discipline of personal reflection, maybe to answer those questions about yourself. Here's another one. What else do you need to learn about the people you are mentoring? It's a good question to ask. We've kind of talked about three general areas, but again, you're going to contextualize the mentoring relationship. And so what else do you need to learn about those people you're mentoring? And then what is the appropriate way to help them identify the destination? Again, I think that's an important question. You don't want to skip over. What's the appropriate way to help them identify their destination? Because people are people, and we all have individual styles and approaches about us. And so one size is not going to fit all. What is that custom fit? What's that appropriate way to help people identify their specific destinations? So, Bruce, any thoughts as we're continuing this journey of a navigator? Any thoughts about how the navigator charts the path in the mentoring relationship?
Charles, you bring up a really important point, and that is, as a mentor, you're helping someone with a customized growth plan. You're helping them reach their stated objectives. Now, you may be able to speak to that and help them articulate that better by observing and sharing what you see about their potential or their fit in your team. And I think it was two weeks ago, we spoke about having vision for people, speaking into people's lives with a sense of vision. And so when we do that, we're creating a sense of destiny for them. We're helping them bring that into focus. And the mentoring relationship is a very customized approach. So I think it's important in charting the path for them that it's a path for them. It's not something like a template you could lay on any person and expect the same outcome, because it is customized. So I think it's important when you chart the path for someone else that you understand their passion. And you ask a few questions earlier about what do they cry about, what do they sing about, what do they dream about. Those are some good starter questions to start delving into their own personal vision, their own sense of maybe a sense of disappointment, what they're trying to overcome. But understanding their passion, understanding their potential, getting a sense for the things that they love to sing about. And that's what is uncovering, I think, a sense of purpose, a sense of passion, and that can also get the vision. So when you understand those three things, potential, passion, and vision, it allows you to see more clearly where they really want to go. And I think those are conversations you need to have with your protege. Once you help them identify where to go, you have to help get them there. And so you're going to bring the wealth of your understanding and experience and things that have not only helped you grow, but have helped others grow. And you need to try to line those up with your protege. There needs to be a sense that, you know, just in leadership, that people need to trust that you say, this is where we're going, this is how we're going to get there. Well, as a mentor, you're offering that to people on an individual basis. And so once you understand where they're desiring to go, you have to be able to give them a credible plan on how to get there, but certainly customized for them personally. You have to plot their course and give attention to some specific areas. For example, where do they need to go? It's easier for them to get off track. So keeping a clear destination, a clear benchmark for growth, a clear marker. Those are important that's important terminology to think about as a mentor. Where do they need to go? What do they need to know to get there? Misunderstanding and a lack of knowledge will hinder their progress. And it is a telling moment when, in the course of thinking about where you're going with your protege, and they say, I don't understand. That's a very telling point. It's very important to have a conversation there about, well, tell me about your destination. Tell me about what you're passionate about, because the answer is going to come from that information. So think about not only where they need to go, but what they need to know, because we need to give them confidence that what they can acquire informationally is going to help them get there. Remember that staying the course is not easy. And so think about in your own life, what have you done to have the tenacity to stay the course? As you think about your own journey, you're aware of the dynamics that are at place to be a person of follow through, a person that is known as a finisher, and not just a beginner. So begin to think about some of those questions. And I think once you do, you'll have an understanding of what it means to chart the path forward for your protege. Charles, what else would come to mind in terms of the skill of a navigator for you?
Yeah, I think an important skill is that a navigator thinks ahead. So, you know, in this mentoring relationship, it's very discouraging for those you're trying to help if you stand by and watch and just allow things to happen. So we have to, if we're going to be a navigator, we've got to begin to think ahead. And be proactive in the relationship. So four things that we must understand as we get started. Everybody faces problems. So keep your head when everyone else around you is losing theirs. And that's hard to do, but again, we're going to begin to focus on that. Secondly, successful people face more problems than unsuccessful people. So a lack of problems does not mean achievement. Third, money does not solve problems. People with money seem less content and have more problems. Fourth, problems provide an opportunity for growth. Growth never comes without some form of pain. And all the leaders in the house said, amen.
Amen.
How do you train someone to think ahead? That's a good question to begin to work through. It's a good question to begin to reflect on. Think about your experiences. How did you learn those lessons of learning to think ahead? So how do you train someone to do that? And then again, another question to ponder. What should they be looking for when looking ahead, and why? You know, we're not just looking out just to be gazing on what's before us, but we're being intentional. We're looking for some specific things. So what is it they should be looking for, and why should they be looking for those pitfalls or those possible obstacles? Or, you know, so again, we're thinking, we're reflecting on some questions to try to surface some good teaching points and learning points in the mentoring relationship. Bruce, any other skills for the navigator?
Yeah, we're ticking these right off, aren't we? We have a lot to offer people, Charles. A navigator knows how to make course corrections. I think that's a very important component of wisdom for a mentor. Because no matter how well you've navigated, there are going to be times where you have to correct your course. And you're going to find that those moments are going to test your faith. They're going to test your sense of your own sense of self-knowledge and acumen. So when it comes to course corrections with your protege, be patient. Don't be quick to judge. Withhold judgment. Course corrections can give the opportunity for humility and growth. And I think that's a vital part of the learning curve for anybody, is that to recognize, okay, this isn't working the way we thought it would. So make everything an experiment. Make everything, give permission along the steps of leading someone in as a mentor. Give them permission to fail. Give them permission to experience and try new things without the pressure of having to make everything a success. And as you think about your protege, be mindful. Are they a type A driven personality that can become easily frustrated when other people aren't working at the same pace they are? Do they lack some confidence? And would a course correction be something you need to handle with a little more grace? So again, this is being mindful of the person that who happens to be your protege. So again, course corrections, they give the opportunity for humility and growth. And I think we can encourage that. I think it's important to say, just through honest conversation, look, we're not going to get things right all the time, but we are going to keep making progress. So create that safe place for them to be able to look at their experience and say, wow, that was a boneheaded decision, or wow, that did not turn out the way we thought it would. If you'll take your role as a mentor with a degree of self-deprecation, then it gives permission for your protege to do that. It doesn't mean you don't need to project strength and knowledge as a leader. It means you show that you're human. So always embrace opportunities for humility and growth. So with that being said, as a navigator, you can help people avoid these situations. Teach them not to listen to doubting critics. Man, we need fewer critics in our lives and more friends. We need honest friends, but friendship with is a lot easier atmosphere, a lot easier to receive correction, to receive, you know, even criticism. A good friend can make criticism feel constructive. So teach them not to listen to their doubting critics. Teach them to listen to trusted people. As a navigator, you can help them in situations like that by coaching them not to be overwhelmed by challenges, and to remember that everything is new. And so success is going to feel new. And sometimes, believe me, sometimes the lesson learned may be the bit of success they needed for the moment. So be willing to embrace those times. Don't feel like it's a nail in the coffin. Don't feel like, be careful in the kind of language and metaphors you use around someone's failures. And let's be honest, as a mentor, if you're not in that headspace, then don't take on mentoring too soon, because this is just an important skill. We got to help them get to success, and a lot of times that's going to come through a couple of failures. I love what Ken Blanchard says. Ken Blanchard has been a guru for leadership growth and helping manage people. People think he's a brilliant manager. Well, the truth is he knows how to manage people really well. And he's recommended a four-step problem-solving process when it comes to working with people. First thing he says is think about the problem in order to make it specific. So be thinking about the problem. Think about the nature of it. Think about the source of it. Think about what's really going on. And that takes patience. Sometimes you're going to find that the problem your protege has is just a mental block for them. You're wondering what the problem is because you have the experience and the wisdom to know it's not as big of a deal maybe as your protege is thinking. But be able to think about the problem and don't minimize it on their behalf. Acknowledge it, but also let's talk with a sense of sanity and clarity and wisdom and perspective about it. So think about it in order to make it specific. Number two, forming theories for solving it. It's really interesting that a lot of time that's spent on maybe criticizing a person's performance, if you channel that same energy into being creative about how to solve those problems, what that can do is it can engage your protege's problem-solving capability, and it may bring them to a new sense of awareness if you'll engage it. I think another thing Ken Blanchard says is he talks about forecasting the consequences of carrying out the theories. So let's get in the sandbox and think about, okay, if we start taking these problem-solving steps, then where could it lead? What are the possibilities there? That's really good coaching. Because it gives permission for people to dream and to strategize in a way that's positive. And then choose the method that seems to be surfacing based on the big picture. Begin to affirm some of the things your protege is coming up with in the problem-solving process. And really encourage them to seek simple solutions. Solutions are not always complicated. And make sure that they're thinking, you know, kind of real world. And sometimes in the real world, the simplest answer is the best answer. Instill confidence in them. Remember that correction is not rejection. Correction, again, is a way to embrace some humility and begin moving forward with a sense of teachability and humility. And I think that's an important gauge of where your client, your protege is in their growth process. If they think they have all the answers, and then you may have to say, well, then why did you pick me as a mentor? Because I try to tell people that I mentor, I cannot help people that are already there. You have to, if I'm going to be your mentor, then I have to know that you're going to approach this with a sense of humility. Doesn't mean I'm looking for people to affirm that I'm the answer guy. I just need to know that they're in a space with a growth mindset. And I've always thought a growth mindset is built on a teachable spirit. Charles, there's one more lesson, and it comes when it comes to being a navigating mentor, and I think it's huge. And it might be the last principle on our list, but it might be the most important. So talk to us about that.
Well, thank you, Bruce, for trusting me with the big finale here. I'll try not to fumble the ball. But a navigator stays with the people. He or she doesn't just give direction, but the navigator makes the journey with the people that they're guiding, and that's important. You know, we've talked a lot about building trust, this whole idea of enlarging people, and now navigating. this is all couched in the context of relationship. And if there's going to be trust and if there's going to be relationship, there has to be a commitment on the mentor's part, on the navigator's part. Listen, I'm going to make the journey with you. Every step we're going to go. I'm not going to do the work for you, but I'm going to make the journey. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a guide. I'm going to be a strength and a support and encouragement. I'm not going to be a critic. I'm going to be a cheerleader. But I'm making the journey with you. And that is critical in being not just a mentor, but really, as we're talking about the navigator, you stay with the people, and you're not there just to flex on people and give directions, but you're there to make the journey with the people that you're guiding. Another part of staying with the people is that people have to learn to become effective problem solvers. Then they will begin to navigate for themselves. So as we're taking the journey with people, what begins to happen is they see us problem solving. Then we pull them into the process, and we're problem solving together. And then at some point in the journey, we begin to allow them. Now you begin to problem solve, and that only happens as we stay in the journey with them and guide them through this process. And when we bring, as we help to bring them to that level of independence, then they begin to navigate for themselves. That's a powerful transforming dynamic. When people can begin to navigate for themselves, you know that this relationship is life-giving for sure. A navigator stays with people. So the ability to navigate problems and overcome obstacles is a skill that anyone can learn. But we don't learn it in a vacuum. We learn it in a relationship. Someone is navigating for us again, and we're learning those skills. We're learning how to be a navigator, and so we're learning these skills from others. Here's a great question as we grow in our skills of being a navigator. What are you, or what am I doing to stay connected to the people? So we're really emphasizing that a navigator stays with the people. So as a navigator, what am I doing? What are you doing to stay connected to the people that you're mentoring? How are you staying connected to them so that you can be a navigator? As you connect with people, when will enough be enough? There's another dynamic to begin to think through and to live through. When will enough be enough? When at what point do you begin to pull back and allow the person being mentored to navigate with you? So again, that's those are issues of timing. Those are issues of discernment. Those are issues of trust as well. But as we're connecting, when will enough be enough? And so kind of a final point of application, if you will, in this would be an influence checklist. So in the journey, in the navigation journey, as we're staying with people, some of the things that we want in our checklist to be occurring is, are we helping them identify their destination? Because that's part of navigating. Are we helping them to identify the destination? And who are the people that we're helping? Think about three people that you've decided to enlarge. What are their destinations? So again, even right now, who are the three people that you're going to mentor and that are giving you permission to mentor them? what are their destinations? These are some conversations you can begin to have. What's the end result? What's the kind of the final place that this relationship should bring them to? And then in the process of having conversation, begin to observe. What is it that makes them cry? What is it that makes them sing? What is it that makes them dream? And we just would just encourage you to begin to write those things down. Again, who are the people that you're going to be mentoring, that you're going to be navigating for? What are their destinations? You want to settle on that pretty quickly. And then begin to observe what makes them cry, what makes them sing, what makes them dream. And begin to write those things down so that you kind of have a playbook that you're working from as you're navigating in this relationship, and that's going to help you stay engaged in this relational process. So there you have it, Bruce. That's our list of skills for the navigator. Any closing thoughts?
There was just something that came to me when you mentioned just a few moments ago that you know, the ability to navigate problems and the importance of being present with people on the journey. I just want to say this about pastoral leaders, spiritual leaders. You know, there's always going to be the thought as a leader that you're going to move people with your public communication. And I don't want to diminish that. That's an important skill. But as a leader, your objective is to get people onto God's agenda. And when you think about mentoring, we've talked about this many times on our podcast, but you've got to make a commitment to help get people to the next level. And mentoring is a crucial skill set for that. And so, Charles, as you were talking about, think about three people you could help enlarge as a mentor, as a navigator. I think it's important, Pastor, you really give some serious thought to those people that right now that need attention, right now that are key catalyzing people in your congregation that can help the church lift. And Pastor, as you help them lift, you're going to find they have influence throughout the church that's going to help the church lift. And it might be a worship pastor, it might be a youth pastor, it might be a children's leader, it might be a men's leader. And be mindful of those opportunities, and don't shy away from those opportunities. If you're going to move people onto God, that's something a mentor does. A mentor is about helping people move onto God's agenda for their life. And I can't emphasize that enough. That this interpersonal skill is a worthy skill to grow in. And so go back and review some of our previous episodes. We've done several that have featured, in some capacity, mentoring, coaching, but ways to help improve people in their performance and reach their potential. We're so glad to have you with us today on the Five Gifts Podcast. Again, we have a form in the show notes, and we want some feedback from you. If you'd fill that form out, not only would it give you some opportunity to think about your own growth plan and ways that help areas of growth for yourself, and also means and ways that help you grow, but it might give us some opportunity to think about future episode topics and subjects. And so please fill out that form in the show notes. It won't take you but a couple of minutes. And it also might give you some opportunity to think about how we might help you personally. Again, you're always welcome to reach out to us on our websites. Charles has two fantastic websites. You can reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com. and charlesrusselltraining.com. And Charles can put together a customized growth plan, both as a mentor or a coach. He's a tremendous church consultant. In fact, he's just recently been on site at a couple of churches, and he's working with pastors, helping them think strategically about their situations. Charles is fantastic at that. And I can be his most consistent endorsement, because I know how great the job he does, and I'm very serious about that. So you can reach out to Charles at either of his websites. You can reach out to me at coachingcardia.com. I I love working with people as a coach. And so if you find coaching as something that you may like to explore, then start with me. I'm safe and not that expensive. So reach out to me at my website at coachingcardiac.com. Again, we're so glad to have you today, and we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.